Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged. Coming up, Disney World has announced more resort reopenings. Disney Plus goes all in on Star Wars. Hawaiian Airlines is offering direct flights from Orlando to Honolulu. Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom and Spice Road Table in Epcot are making some important changes. And we're going to take questions from our live audience as well for our final show of 2020. From the Bob Varley Studio Annex, also known as my office, in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Welcome, folks. Hope your week is off to a good start. I don't even know what I'm doing because I don't have this part scripted. It's sad. It's sad what's happened to me. Welcome, folks. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined this week by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everyone.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
No, hoy hoy.
And as I mentioned, folks, this is going to be our last show, our last live show for 2020. We're going on our usual hiatus. I wasn't going to do a hiatus this year, but then I'm like, you know what? We need a hiatus. So we will be back on January 5th. And we've been talking for the last several weeks about a lot of the changes that we're in the process of making. So since this is our last show, I really just want to drive all of that home for everyone. We have divided up our content into various channels here on YouTube. If you want in-park vlogs and live streams, then the Diz channel, which is youtube.com/WDWinfo, is where you're going to want to head. For Disney Vacation Club content, our shows are already going up over there. Plus, we're going to be producing a lot of DVC-specific content for that channel in the new year, and that's youtube.com/DVCFan. The Disney Cruise Line show is going on its own channel, already there, DCLFan, youtube.com/DCLFan. And we've got a lot of fun stuff we're planning for that. We're going to be doing a lot of Adventures by Disney stuff on that channel as well, John, Kevin, and I. I've got some stuff I'm recording a little later on this week that I'm really excited about, too, that'll be going up on that channel. So the dining show, of course, we've made some changes with our dining content. We've been putting up a lot of stuff that is now exclusively on our dining channel, which is youtube.com/DisneyDining. Of course, let me not forget to mention See Disney, our Spanish language website and YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/SIDisney, See Disney. And SeeDisney.com is, of course, the website. Moving to Orlando has been doing, been on its own since June, basically. The Moving to Orlando shows, as of January 1st, like with the others, exclusively on that channel. But we're also doing home tours if you're interested in seeing what houses and different price ranges are like in the Orlando area. If you're planning to move to Orlando, youtube.com/movingtoOrlando or movingtoorlando.com. But last but certainly not least, this channel, Diz Unplugged. You may be wondering, okay, so you're moving all this content off to other channels. What's going to happen with this? Well, this show, of course, is going to continue to be broadcast here, as is the best and worst of Disney World, but we're also planning a lot of in-studio content and vlogs, a lot of new stuff that will be coming to this channel next year. So we've got a lot going on. We've been working on this for months, getting things set up here in my office, getting things set up in the studio, and it's going to give us the opportunity to not just, dig into some details on these topics on these individual channels, but it's also going to give us the opportunity to bring in some new faces and some new voices and some new ideas, which was really the driving force behind a lot of this. So you're going to get to meet some new people. Really, really excited about it. Really excited. We got so much planned. It's been a busy year. So please head over and subscribe to those channels so you don't miss anything. Hit the bell for the notification. Do that here as well if you're not subscribed to the Diz Unplugged channel. And very excited for what's coming up. So with that out of the way, let's have a chat about some of the news stories. What I really want to get to today, though, is I really want to get to the Q&A. We haven't done a live Q&A on this show, and I don't know how long. And I was just saying to Craig this morning, why? Why aren't we doing that? So that may be something we go back to doing on a more regular basis. But let's talk about a couple news stories, because it was a kind of slow news week. A big one came up today when they announced that reservations are now being accepted at some more Disney resorts next year. All-Star Movies is taking reservations for Arrival starting March 22nd, Beach Club starting May 30th, and Wilderness Lodge starting June 6th. And that's good news. That's good. I mean, now, for us DVC members, we've been able to go stay at Beach Club and Wilderness Lodge and all the rest of them, whenever we want since June, basically. But this is good news that these are reopened. It's a good sign that things are moving back in that direction. Anybody disappointed that another resort wasn't on this list? I mean, we know Polly's not going to be until, later next year because of the rehab, but anybody disappointed?
So I'm a little odd in the fact that I am a DVC member, but I also have this nostalgia towards the All-Stars because it's always where I stayed. And honestly, I go back there being a Florida resident, and I'm still hit with all those vacation feels from all the vacations I took there. So I'm actually pretty excited that Movies is opening. Being a Florida resident, this is the longest I've been without setting foot on the All-Stars, which is weird because I wasn't living here before, and now it's like 20 minutes away. But I would like to go to Music because I joked about it, my home resort before I was a DVC member. So,
yeah, I'm happy to see one of the All-Stars coming back online because I know that opens up a different price point for families. So families who do feel comfortable coming down and enjoying a bit of the magic, that's just a little bit more doable for a lot of families. So I'm kind of glad that's coming back online. There isn't one that I'm like, oh, I wish, but that end of property down by the All-Stars, the new McDonald's, the redone McDonald's, is kind of lonely and quiet right now. So I'm glad that that it'll be reopening.
Well, excuse me. If you're going to reopen an All-Stars, you reopen All-Star Movies. It's the best of the three, in my opinion. Anybody surprised it's not Pop Century, since Pop Century is the most popular of the values? In terms of how they book and how well they do, Pop Century is the most popular of the values. So I was a little surprised that it wasn't Pop. I would have thought that was the first value to come back on.
Sorry, Debbie, go ahead.
No, that's okay. What were you going to say, Fiasco?
So from my experience, when I was living in Massachusetts on a very limited budget, the reason that I was able to visit Walt Disney World as many times in a year as I was able to was because of the pricing at All-Stars. That's really what it came into. If I was going to stay at any of the other resort hotels, whether it be Pop Century or Art of Animation, it would probably reduce my vacation budget down to like once a year. But because of, I was able to find rooms at, $149 a night and stuff like that, that allowed me to go 2-3 times a year. So it was it's a big difference when you break it down like that on a small budget.
Well, and Pop Century is back online now. So we do
is
have it. Yep. It's open. In fact, everything.
That's what I know.
Yeah. No. But Everything Pop is one of the two locations that they're starting the new contactless merchandise experience through. So that immediately that shows you that, that's a great place to, they've got people there to be able to test this new feature out in the app. So yeah, no, it is, it's back online.
Okay.
What we're seeing is Disney's doing a rolling opening of stuff. So as things look like we're returning back to normal with all of the news that's out there now, you know, Disney's starting to just release a little more, a little more, a little more. You know, we saw the return of park hopping, sort of, the modified park hopping. I think we're going to see another announcement pretty soon that'll bring us back to some sort of Disney vacation normalcy. So I think it's starting to happen. We just got to be patient and let it sort of make its way out.
Well, I think the one that has, I know for me, the announcement I'm waiting for, and I think a lot of people are waiting for, is Disney Cruise Line. What's going to happen? I got to tell you, in the 20 plus years I've been doing this, I have never seen Disney so good at keeping a secret. And no leaks coming out of DCL about what's going on. I mean, it's usually I'll hear something, right? We'll hear something, but these people are being threatened to like not say anything. So I know that's something I know I'm waiting on. I know a lot of people are waiting on to see that happen. But it is nice. It is nice that they're reopening. And like I said, if you're going to reopen an All-Star Resort, movies is your, for me anyway, I really like All-Star movies. I love that food court. I think that food court is the best of the three. It also has the cool, I don't know if they're bringing this back, but the secret menu.
Yeah,
at All-Star Movies is so unbelievably good. So, all right. Well, speaking of food, let's talk about a couple changes that are happening at a couple of restaurants. Crystal Palace is, as we expected, not going to be a character meal, and it's going to be serving everything family style. Now, I'll be honest, I like Crystal Palace in terms of the building. I never thought the food was anything to write home about.
Yeah.
So we'll see whether or not, you know, because they charge, I think it's $55 a person, adult. Yes. What is it, 30?
36.
$36 for kids. So, you know, I don't think that's a major price change, is it, from when they had characters or any price change?
I don't believe so. I'm not 100%.
No. So, we, you know, it's the food better be really, really, really good. If you're going to charge the same amount for family style and not have the characters as when you had the buffet, and I think we're going to see this. They're, you know, everybody says, well, when are the buffets coming back? This is how the buffets are going to come back. They're going to come back as family style. And no characters. I think you may start to see that adjust mid to late 2021, where we'll start seeing characters come back, would be my guess, if not into 2022. But also, if they realize that they're saving money doing family style, you may not see buffets come back at all. You may not see them come back at all. What do you think? Does anybody think that this may be the wave of the future now for these buffet restaurants? Are just going to go family style?
I mean, if that's the way, if Beer Garden is any indication, because you know that I've experienced personally, the new family style dinner there was magnificent. So you're going to bring me everything that's on that buffet to my table. I don't have to move a muscle, and it's all I care to eat. Yes, please. And more.
Yeah,
I'd like, you know. So yeah, I'd be with it if Crystal Palace transitions to that. And then we don't.
Yeah, but then Disney's going to find a way to dumb that down, mm-hmm. and you're not going to get everything that was on the buffet. Oh, these are the highlights of the buffet.
Yeah.
So Disney will take stuff away.
Yeah.
I think buffets are the last thing that will come back ever in society. I think you're going to see, like, you know, major buffet restaurants have closed their doors.
Yeah. Sweet Tomatoes is going out of business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that this idea, even if it's safe, I think a lot of people are going to be like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not going near the thing that other people have breathed on. So I think buffets in general on cruises at Walt Disney World, anywhere, are going to be the last thing we see.
Are any of you watching television and all of a sudden the characters will start hugging one another and you think, what are you doing? I think that's my reaction to a buffet. It's going to take a while.
Well, you see, I know that, you know, maybe families, maybe buffet, you know, I get that. But here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm worried about. We're seeing, you know, the bald one making these cuts in entertainment.
Who's the bald one? Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor. Who's Bob Chapek. Bob Chapek. Keep up. We're seeing him making these cuts, but we know that he had wanted to do this before COVID, and he used COVID as an excuse to cut a lot of people from entertainment. Is, you know, what I'm wondering is this what we're going to see? They go no characters, family style, same price. That they start cutting back the character experiences because entertainment and cut it. That's what I'm wondering. And I'll guarantee you, I won't guarantee anything. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think we're seeing it. They want to see how it works at Crystal Palace. Will people still pay $55 a plate and $36 a plate for their kids to eat just in the building, no character experiences? What's going to make sense? The only thing that made that particular restaurant tolerable was the characters. It was all the Winnie the Pooh characters. And you don't see them too often. And that made it tolerable. You know, and you hear people say all the time, yeah, you know what, the character meals, the food isn't good, but my kids light up. I don't think your kids are going to light up when they see scrambled eggs. I just don't. But you're going to pay the same amount for that.
You give them ham and you tell them.
I mean, I think that was a huge. Sorry, I think that was a huge reason why, like, we even in a lot of our dining shows were even recommending a lot of the character dining experiences. We were like, you know, this is a good way to have your kids meet all these characters without having to wait in line. You know, speaking of Crystal Palace, you know, you can meet all these Winnie the Pooh characters without having to wait in line during your park day, you know, kind of kill two birds with one stone, get your dinner or your breakfast and meet four characters out of the way in one swoop go so you can do more rides, even though you might be able to find, you know, better food at plenty other locations. When you kind of remove that, the price no longer is really justified.
My question was this, and I might be dead wrong, and it's terrible if I am. Isn't Topolino's a modified character experience right now for breakfast?
Yeah, they have multiple places. Garden Grill at Epcot is doing modified as well as Hollywood and Vine. So, you know, we will see a day with character dining in a full return again one day. I'm on the team that I would love for all the buffets to permanently go on family style dining. The buffet is great in a sense that you're given a lot of food options. And if you have picky eaters, everyone likes something different. Everyone's going to find at least one thing that they like. But, you know, ultimately, every time we go eat at a buffet, we walk away saying, okay, these two things were pretty much good and everything else was mediocre. So if I can just get family style where they're going to just put the best of what they can possibly offer on a plate in front of me, then I'm going to be happy at the end of the day. That's why I know not everyone loves Garden Grill. I love Garden Grill. I think it's simple food that know the best things that they can make. They put it out in front of you. You have great character interaction and you call it a day. So I'm all about that model.
And I completely agree with you on Garden Grill. I think Garden Grill, I mean, there was a time that it wasn't, right? It wasn't great. But the last 3 or 4 times I've eaten there, breakfast and dinner was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Absolutely. The food was great. Character interaction was great. Service was great. I've got nothing bad to say anymore about Garden Grill. If they can take that model and they can replicate it in these other buffet restaurants and find a way to incorporate characters in a way that keeps everybody safe for the moment. Right now, that's what we got to worry about. Hopefully a year from now won't be quite as bad or at all. But if they can find a way to do that, great. What I'm afraid of is that they're going to say, well, look, we're still going to get the reservations. We're still going to charge the same thing, and we don't have to pay characters. Mm-hmm. Or we don't have to pay them as much or as often.
You won't have clients sitting as long.
Right.
From someone who used to work in a restaurant, turning that table over will increase profit also. And if there are not characters to wander about, people aren't going to last as long.
That's a good point. So the other restaurant undergoing a little bit of change, Spice Road Table over in Epcot, has switched to more of a lounge experience, it sounds like. You have the you have basically a tapas menu, appetizer, starters. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 items on that, ranging in price from about $9 to $15. And then of course you have drinks. And I was never a fan of Spice Road Table to begin with. Not that it was bad. It just wasn't my taste, right? I didn't find anything there that was like, oh, my God, I really have to eat here. So I've skipped over it. Going to try it again. Actually, tomorrow, I think. What's everybody's thought on Spice Road Table?
It's on my list of places to go to. I've not been there yet, but I like that. There is kind of a snack location, and if you're not super hungry, you can sit down and order several tapas. You can kind of get a feel for the flavors of the region represented there, or regions that are represented, and you have a gorgeous waterfront seat. It is a lovely, lovely, just with the different lanterns hanging overhead. And even, I mean, one of the things on the menu right now is a Spice Road Table sampler. So even if you look at that menu and you go, I have no earthly idea what to order, get the sampler. And it's got a little bit of everything on it. And there's also a dessert sampler as well. So two samplers and you're good to go, and whether you have a drink or not. But I know that Erica on our in-park social team, she was saying it's her favorite place of all, and she was just there last night and had a great time. So I'm looking forward to getting to dine there.
I'm going in with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
You should join Rhino and I tomorrow. We're gonna. Jackie asked us to hit that tomorrow while we're in Epcot. I'll give it a try. I do like the fact, again, because it's hard to find all outdoor seating. Right, it's all outdoor seating. And that's important right now. I will not eat inside a restaurant. So it has to have outdoor seating. And, when you get over to Disney Springs and places like that, they have a lot more options for outdoor seating than we see in the theme parks. So I'm hoping it is something I like, because I want to, add that to my list of outdoor locations, that are available. And found some restaurants I may not have gone to otherwise that I've started going to because they had outdoor seating, so I'm like, okay, I'll try it, and was like, oh wow, this is really good. Actually had that experience last night, but I'm not going to say where, because I want to surprise you with it when I put the review up on the Disney Dining channel, youtube.com/DisneyDining. I'm going to be doing this for months, guys. Okay. Because okay. You know what's going to happen. We have the folks that, they start watching again in January and February, and they haven't been watching in a while, and they're like, where'd everything go? So we're going to have to repeat this, but, all right. So let me see what's next on my little list. The only other thing I want to talk about before we get to Q&A is Disney confirming what we already knew, that everything's closing early on New Year's Eve. You have the Magic Kingdom closing at 11, Epcot at 10, Hollywood Studios at 9, Animal Kingdom at 8, Disney Springs at 11. They don't want people hanging around for midnight. They don't want people hanging around. And it's completely understandable, right? It sucks, but we get it, and let's hope this is the last year we have to worry about it. But from what I understand, a lot of the resorts that are open are really trying to find little more intimate things to do to celebrate New Year's Eve without running the risk of getting all these people in a, you know, crammed space. So I think that's really nice. And I think that may be something, you know, I keep wondering what things that Disney's had to adapt for COVID are going to be continuing on the other side of it. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, the resorts kind of doing their own special thing, then I was like, okay, you know, maybe that could be something that carries forward. So I don't know. My mic is bumping all over the place. Sorry.
You know, they've done that in the past.
I think it's where I have it placed, Craig. I'm sorry.
They've done that in the past with resorts. You know, each resort kind of did a little sort of New Year's celebration. I think that, fingers crossed, next Christmas, next New Year's, we're going to be back to the way things were before. We're not going to have to worry about that sort of Disney trying to make things special. It's all going to be back to the way it was. So just relax. That's my advice.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right. So I want to take some – well, before we do that, anything for housekeeping? Oh, Kevin's got his hand up.
Yes. I have a couple of seats left. If you're still interested in going on the Grand Europe trip with us next September 17th through the 26th, we are going to start in London. We are going to go to Paris. We are going to Florence. And we are going to end up in Rome. It is the 17th through the 26th for a couple. It's just under $16,000, and it's 9 nights. I literally have a handful of spaces left. If you're interested in joining us, Kevin at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
I had a question because we didn't really get into the MCO to Honolulu story.
Oh, that's right. No, I haven't. I didn't talk about that.
And there's something just like I'm just looking at. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So one of these flights, the one on Tuesday, Saturday, is, you know, like a little over 6 hours. And then you have, well, and with the time zone change, it's actually longer than that. So add some time to that. But then the other one, the Thursday, Sunday one, is like almost 2 days
because you
long.
Have a big time difference. You're adding time to your flight. That's not unusual.
There's a 6 hour right. time difference between MCO and Honolulu.
So how long are you actually on that plane for?
About 10 to from Orlando. It's about 10. 9-10 hours.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, but that's standard. The reason I brought this up is because I noticed a lot of people when that came out, when that got announced, a lot of people were talking about, oh, you know what? This might be an opportunity to do like a double trip where, you know, we go to Orlando and do Disney World, then do that round trip, that nonstop round trip out to Honolulu, do Alani, which, God bless. I wanted to say I have flown Hawaiian Airlines, and they were better than good. I'm not going to say they were great, but they were better than good. I like them. They also have pretty aggressive frequent flyer program and ways to get miles.
I was from Honolulu to Orlando. And I was only looking at a one-way ticket, Honolulu to Orlando, in an lie-flat first-class seat. It was about $1,500 in July.
You're seeing, depending on when you're traveling, you're seeing in there, for the lie-flat first-class, you're seeing about, 3,500 to 4,000 a person. I was seeing flights and coach for as low as 700 round trip, which is ridiculous going to Hawaii. And right now, because of the challenges, I'm going to try and stop moving, Craig. I'm sorry. Because of the challenges that airlines have faced, you're seeing some very, very good, some very good fares. But Hawaiian Airlines is a good airline. We flew them from Honolulu to Tokyo and back. And I was impressed. I was impressed with how good it was and how good the flight attendants were. Delta's my go-to. But Delta for that run, I mean, Delta used to do a direct out of Atlanta to Honolulu. And depending on time of year, you could get a good price, but they stopped doing that. And now the prices are just ridiculous. So I was like, okay, this is something interesting, because I'm thinking about Alani maybe early summer, depending on what's going on. Is that when you guys are going?
You've got a Backstage Magic in July, and we're thinking of adding it to the Backstage Magic. So we were looking at, just as Kevin said, the one-way return flight. Here's the deal. Anytime you don't have to stop in Atlanta and change planes, that's a good thing. Yeah. So the fact that this takes that out of this equation, I am so happy about this flight.
Yeah,
especially on the way home.
Yeah. And we'll change days. You know, we'll change our trip to fit that schedule. So we're excited about it.
All right. So anything, do we have anything for housekeeping other than Kevin's? What do you mention? Go ahead.
I just want to say, we didn't mention the beginning of the show. We're getting a lot of questions about the Dreams Unlimited Travel podcast. We are coming back in January with new episodes. We took a little bit of a hiatus, took some time off. Everything going on in the travel industry kind of took our attention away from that. But I want folks to know we are returning in January with new episodes of that podcast. And the other thing I want to say is this. If you are looking to book a 2021 vacation, now is the time to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait until Christmas. Don't wait until January. That's when it's going to get nuts and it's going to be crazy, especially with the idea that we're going to have a vaccine and all of these things are going to make travel more appealing to people. Think about it now and book now and get your requests in now. You're going to be so much happier you did it. You're going to secure your resort. You're going to get your accommodations. You'll be able to get your park passes right now, which is super important, guaranteed into the park. So things to think about, whatever your destination is, whatever trip you're going to take, book now, book with Dreams Unlimited Travel. We'll keep watching for discounts. And all of our current Dreams discounts will be running in 2021 as well. So our shipboard credits, our gift bags for cruises, our discounts on Adventures by Disney, all of those things will continue into 2021. So again, don't wait. I know everybody loves to wait until January to book. Don't do it. Do it now.
Do it now. Do it now. Okay. All right. So let's get to some questions. Is somebody fielding these?
They're going to start asking questions right now. Okay. So
you may proceed. You may proceed to ask questions. I don't know why we don't do this more often. I did a live stream last week on our DBC fan Facebook group. And every time we go out live on Facebook, we're always taking questions. And it made me think, why don't I do that on this show? I don't know. But we'll see how this goes. We'll see if we like your questions.
Okay.
If I don't like your questions, we're never doing this again.
Okay. We're gonna start off with this one, just because I think you already mentioned that we are going to do it as part of the news, and then we also didn't do it, just like Hawaii. But a person's name that I can't pronounce said, thoughts on Disney Plus raising prices as new content.
God. Oh, really? You know what? I was so excited to get to do Q&A. I just skipped over stuff. All right. Given how good The Mandalorian is, And look, I'm not like super, super Star Wars fan, but I love The Mandalorian. I think it's interesting what they're doing. I think they scared the crap out of all their competitors last week with that announcement that it's basically they are going full bore into Disney Plus. I mean, yeah. They've accelerated their timeline for everything. They met their subscriber goal, like the subscriber goal they had for like 2 years from now. They met that already. And now they're estimating ridiculous numbers of subscribers over the next 2 years. Their stock went through the roof. So I think, okay, let's see. Now, what my question is, how much do we think this is going to affect them doing movies? Because they can obviously produce these less expensively than they do like full motion pictures generally. But do you think this is, Craig, I'll ask you this because you follow it. Do you think this is going to affect the slate of movie releases or potential movie releases?
Yes and no. Like a lot of the movies that they had, like that were kind of on the fence, kind of like Pinocchio is a good example. The Robert Zemeckis, Tom Hanks, Pinocchio. Like a lot of stuff like that that I feel like could have maybe had a run at theatrical release as ended up going on the Disney Plus slate. So I don't think it's necessarily going to stop them from investing in a thorough theatrical plan, but it all comes down to now making better decisions about what you're spending your money on. It's the days of spending hundreds of millions of dollars on stuff like, and I know you like both of these, so I'm not insulting you on it, but spending hundreds of millions of dollars on John Carter of Mars and Tomorrowland, like those days are gone. And the pandemic has shown an even bigger light on that. You want performers. They really, more than ever, they want everything they release to make $1 billion. And if it's not going to, they're pretty much going to put it on Disney Plus, I think. There's going to be exceptions and there will still be bombs, but I think that's the reality that we're looking at with Disney, is that Disney theater movies, I think it's going to be the ones that they expect them to be the biggest hits in the world. And even then, they can't guess it all the time. They thought the Alice sequel would be good. They thought the Maleficent sequel would do well. And they performed, but not enough to usually make back all their budgets once you add in marketing and such. But it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And you know, they are going crazy with Star Wars, crazy with Marvel. It's going to be a very exciting time for Disney Plus, but I just want them to make sure that they are not taking the quantity over the quality, because that's been my biggest problem with Disney Plus, is that they've done a decent job at producing a lot in the first year because they've had to rush a lot of stuff in, more than they expected. And while most of it has been okay, a lot has just been stuff that I don't know who it's relevant for, because Bob Chapek was on the investor call saying, well, most of the people who watch Disney Plus, most of those people are people without kids. It's actually, that's our biggest subscriber group, is people without kids. So I don't know what they're watching of some of the new stuff then that's coming out that is aimed directly at kids. So there's a lot of confusing points in it, but I think Disney Plus is on paper right now, it's looking strong for another year, but I still stand by what I think I've said on a couple other things. If it's not like blowing me away by the end of next year, I actually might give it up and only subscribe for the months when there's big tentpole stuff like Mandalorian that I really want to watch, because I'm not watching back content like I thought I was going to be. And that's it. When you can't have a massive Disney fan, when you can't reel them in, that's not great.
Well, and you also have to think that they're taking a lot of cues from Netflix. Look at the money Netflix is spending on, you know, making movies that really just run on their own streaming service, and how successful that model has been. Now, some Netflix stuff if they want to consider, if they think it's an award contender, they're going to release it in theaters because they have to. But outside of that, you know, you look at what Netflix is doing, and I think Disney is saying, okay, we're going to take a page out of their book doing that, but we're going to do it with this incredible IP library that we have that nobody else has.
Didn't Warner Brothers just announce that they were going to release everything they have in the can to streaming?
Yes.
Theatrical release?
Yep. Yep.
That announcement was made before Disney made this last huge announcement.
Yeah.
So one thing, and I understand why they did it like this, and there's lots of reasons why they would do it like this, but just like unloading all these reveals like they did, I feel like it's a missed opportunity in a way, because think about like when you were going through the Marvel phases and the next big movie was revealed in an end credit scene and how hype all the hype focus.
Yeah, they don't have the option to do that right now. Their stock has taken a beating this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Their stock has taken a beating with so much of their revenue coming from theme parks and the massive question mark over that business segment right now as to when it's going to return to profitability. They don't have the luxury of doing that. They had to make a big announcement. And they had to do it with streaming because it's the only thing they can do right now that's not going to be overly impacted by COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. It's just, it's unfortunate.
Well, there's a lot of unfortunate in 2020, but you know, this isn't on my list of like 2020 unfortunate, you know, and obviously it paid off for them. The stock responded to it. So
yeah,
see what happens. I know Kevin is extraordinarily excited about the Star Wars slate.
He is under his skin. He is. As far as the price increase goes, you know, Netflix is raising their price. They've already announced that as well. So here's the deal. You know, these guys see the opportunity that this is where the revenue is. People are doing much more streaming. They're doing, you know what, they're consuming their entertainment at home. So why not take advantage of that to offset their costs of the production? I think even though I don't watch everything on Disney Plus, everything I've watched on Disney Plus is so well produced and so that I think it's worth the price. I really do. So, you know, this is what business is, right? Business, that they see an opportunity where they think they can make more money. Let's raise the price and see what the market will bear on it. It's just part of the business model. I don't think it's going to terribly affect people's, you know, whether or not they'll subscribe or not, because again, that money they would have spent in movies, people have now decided I'm going to redirect that to my home, consuming my entertainment at home.
There's also the thing of people actually going into movie theaters. Are they going to come back, or have they realized that they can watch first run theatrical events from their living room when they want to do it?
Yeah, you know? I think
that's a big.
I think when the history books are written, COVID is going to be the death knell for movie theaters. I don't know that that's coming back, at least not in the way that it was prior to this year. I don't think it is. But all right, Craig, give me some more questions.
Okay.
That aren't highlighting the things I missed in my script.
Yeah, okay. We are going to steer clear of stuff that we missed from the... It wasn't even just the script. It was the cold open. You mentioned it up front, so we had to on that. But I am going to throw this question out, but Chris Berkey asked, when do you think annual pass holder tickets, so annual passes, will be resumed for selling? So does anyone have any thoughts on that?
I think DBC will see it first, is my guess. And I don't think we'll see it in wide release till the summer. Is my guess at the earliest. I don't think we're going to see it much before then.
But the
rumors of annual passes aren't coming back. I'm going to tell you, no way that's going to happen again. No way that's going to happen, and here's why. annual pass holders saved their butts this year. I don't care what the bald one says about, you know, oh, annual pass holders aren't important to our business or whatever the BS he said was. They needed, especially in the first couple of months after reopening, it was annual pass holders that were in the parks. It was annual pass holders who were in the parks. And if they're not, if they don't need annual pass holders, why are they giving us so many damn discounts right now? So I think they realize, I think on some level they realize we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater with annual passes. But I think summer is my guess. Anybody disagree?
Well, how could they sell an annual pass when they're still restricting the amount of people in the parks? I mean, an annual pass holder to me gives me carte blanche. An annual pass doesn't mean that I have to make a reservation 2 weeks in advance. An annual pass means to me, oh, let's go this afternoon.
Well, I mean, that's how my annual pass is working right now, and I'm not getting a refund.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think they're going to sell more.
I also don't have a problem with it, you know, personally, but I live here, so. It also hasn't been ridiculously hard to get park passes. I mean, some parks, you know, depending on how far out you're doing it, you know, if you're doing it for tomorrow, you might not get the park. You may not got Hollywood Studios. But generally speaking, it hasn't been like absurdly difficult to get park passes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It really is all about park capacity and what they're able to open at right now. And we know that they're trying to stick it right at 35% right now. And there are moments that annual pass holders cannot get those park passes. I mean, some of the beauty of having an annual pass is that you can go. In the before times, we could go whenever we wanted to go. We could pack up and go amble around Epcot this evening without a destination. We just go. And you can't do that quite as much anymore. So yeah, they're going to have to be willing. They're going to get to that next benchmark. I'm sure they have benchmarks that they're trying to hit, that they need to be able to make sure that it's, you know, comfortable enough in the parks for people, things like that. So until they're able to open that ceiling a little bit, I don't know that we're seeing it.
It does seem like they opened up some availability in December. A week ago, you know, you looked at the maps for December and it was yellow and red.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden everything was green.
Yeah, they definitely did. You're right.
So, you know, I don't know. Are they up to 50% now and just haven't said? Mm-hmm. We don't know. But let's be, you know, in total fairness, you take a look at infection rates and new infections across the state of Florida, you would think, with the population of Orange County, but more importantly, that beyond population, we have theme parks that people are going to right now. Yet we are we're nowhere close to the highest rate of new infections in the state. And that just, I think, is a statement about how good a job Disney has done managing this. And so far, with the exception of the cuts in entertainment, which I'm not going to forgive them for, with the exception of those cuts, I think they have made very responsible decisions in terms of reopening. And if they have decided to go to 50%, right now I'll trust them. We start hearing stories about, you know, things getting bad. That's a different story. But right now, but I think they did. I think they upped it to 50. I don't think we're at 35 anymore. I think we're at 50%. My personal feeling. But all right, what else we got, Craig?
Okay, next one is maybe Fiasco, and Denny will also be able to jump in with this one a little bit too. But best quick service dining on property that's currently open. This one came from John, no last name, just John, but not John Magi, just J-O-N. So,
you know, I saw that question so I'm glad that you pulled that, Craig. For me, I am, you know, I I'm going to sit here and think for a minute, but right off the top of my head, it's always Satouli. I just go to Satouli and I go to the cheeseburger pods of simplicity, and that is the cheeseburger pod is just so, so good. I like that you have indoor outdoor options right now. Depending on where your level of comfortability is, that's a really, really great thing. So for me, that's kind of where I head in Animal Kingdom, that's for sure.
For me, it's Chicken Guy and Polite Pig for restaurants that are still open. I would definitely throw Geyser Point in there as an honorable mention, but you have a waiter and you're tipping the waiter and you're sitting down being waited on. So it's not like
quick service. Yeah.
It's quick service prices. And in the world of the Disney dining plan, it's a quick service dining credit, but it's still not that traditional what we think when we think of quick service. But Chicken Guy is my go-to. I think personally it's the best like quick service S food on property. With the exception
chicken
of
Chicken Guy?
Yeah. Chicken Guy is so good. It's ridiculously good.
Those
fried pickles, man.
You and the fried pickles.
All those different sauces.
But I completely disagree with you. No surprise there on Chicken Guy. However, Polite Pig, unbelievable, right? Sure. Unbelievable. Not just the food, not just the quality of the food, but the price points aren't ridiculous. And it's a sister restaurant to one of my favorite restaurants in Orlando in Winter Park, the Ravenous Pig, which is also incredible. And so I think on there, I agree with you, but, you know, Polite Pig, Chicken Guy?
Oh, man. Chicken Guy is the best.
Chicken Guy? No.
A
Polite Pig, absolutely, but... if we're gonna call it, I don't care what the dining plan says. I don't consider Geyser Point quick service. I do consider it one of the absolute best places to eat at Walt Disney World. Full stop. Full stop. Consistently good. Consistently good. Great atmosphere, and it's out. It's open air. It's open air, but covered. So. I mean, right now in particular, I mean, it was one of my all-time favorite places before COVID. Now it's like, yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to throw a vote on to Fiasco and Denny's. I'm going against you. I would actually eat at Chicken Guy before Polite Pig.
Right. The judge of the people I hire.
And I would also, if I'm doing barbecue at Walt Disney World, I would eat at Regal Eagle before Polite Pig.
I was going
to
say that.
I am the type of person, if I'm going to a barbecue place, there's almost the two types. There's the kinds that focus meat forward and then side forward. To me, Polite Pig is, they have awesome sides, but I don't think their meat is worth the price of what it actually costs. Back when you were on a dining plan and it was a quick service meal, yes, 1,000,000%, but not right now. In Regal Eagle, I've had better meats there. Their sides kind of disappoint, but, you know. Surprise, I love brisket. I've said it a million times.
I agree with you that Regal Eagle is excellent. I personally don't think it rises above Polite Pig.
Hmm.
I just don't. I think Polite Pig is more of what's the word I'm looking for? It's more culinary in their approach to what they're doing versus Regal Eagle, which is very good, very good. Huge improvement over the restaurant that was in that pavilion before. I thought that was a great change, and I love it, and I will continue to eat there. But I absolutely, Polite Pig, again, I'm also a fan of the brand. I'm a fan of the Ravenous Pig. And I think the way they brought their concepts, the reason the Ravenous Pig is successful isn't just that the food is good. They have the culinary concept they bring to what they do raises it above barbecue joint, well above barbecue joint. And I thought they combined those things really, really well in a quick service at Disney Springs. So that's why I'll stand by my guns on that. But Chicken Guy,
really, oh, it's the best. It is.
Yeah, I know. But you also thought, you know, Paddlefish was like the place. And like,
no, I didn't. No. I never said Paddlefish was the place.
You talked about how great it was.
No. The time we went to Paddlefish was actually the only time I had ever been to Paddlefish, so I wanted to try it, and I thought my appetizer was great. The crab cake was great. That's it.
Okay. What else we got?
Okay. This one might have been a better question to like end the show, but I don't know how long we're going with this, so I'm just going to throw it out there. But I believe it's pronounced Raha says, with this year being the crap show that it was, what is one highlight that we have from 2020?
I'm going to go last on that. I'll let because we will close with this.
Okay.
Seeing so many people out of necessity, I guess it would be, but pouring their entire hearts into passion projects and stuff like that, and seeing all these, you know, small businesses online form, again, out of a need to do it, but it's still cool to see people get to do stuff that they really want to do. So that'd be it for me, I think.
Personally, for me, it was getting to host the show. That's an easy one.
And a great job you did, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun.
Gregory? You're also much prettier than I am. So, and you know what resorts are open.
No.
There's that.
It's all Gregory? Good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a very weird year. I mean, we would have never thought at the beginning of last year or ever since I've been doing it that we would be doing shows like this from home this entire time. So just even having to operate like this, and I apologize, it's Raja like the tiger. So thank you. I now feel embarrassed for saying Raha, but I took a 50-50 bet on that one and I guessed wrong. But I would say a highlight for me was the experience of going back into the parks too when they first reopened. It was just bizarre because it was unlike anything I've done in years at Walt Disney World. Not since it had the same feeling, you know, with masks and distancing, but it had the same feeling like way back in the days of when Disney World would do E-Ride Night at Magic Kingdom, and it was just empty and deserted, and you just had this different park experience. And that's kind of what it was like in July. So it was just, it was so odd, but it was memorable for that reason too. So it's been a wild year, and I think there's been a lot of positive in the community though. There's been, you know, a lot of people have supported us. A lot of people have been going out for cast members, supporting different charities. You know, everyone in the Disney community has basically done a different event and been able to raise tons of money for families, cast members, all these different people. So it's been great to see, you know, some of our worlds coming together for the better. It's been cool to see Disney adjust to all of this. It's been cool to see us adjust. It's been wild.
Well said.
John, Kevin?
Just so they know too, they are muted. I don't know if they can hear us anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I think their internet is lagging drastically.
Well, he's talking.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I don't think...
Oh no.
We're going to move a producer into their house.
A remote producer. On location producing.
Fiasco?
Yeah, okay. I'm
Fiasco goes twice. Oh no.
All right, well, this is awkward. all right, let me go. If they come back in before we're done, we'll switch back to them. Look, I have said this many, many times this year. I've said it many times before this year, but this year it seems to be like my phrase, no one ever changes when things are going good, right? When we're comfortable, we're not going to change. And we only change when there's a gun held to our head and we have to. And 2020 has been just that, right? You're not going to, a lot of the things that we're, what is going on? I am like seeing Blair Witch on John's camera. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Please stand by.
Stand by, John. You're really garbled.
I hate to interrupt you on this one, Pete, but I think they actually got footage from the moon back in 1969 easier than getting John's feed in here. So,
yeah. So anyway, you know, that statement certainly applies to me. It certainly applies to us here that the changes, I don't know that the number of changes that have happened here this year would have happened if not for this dumpster fire of a year that we had. I don't know that it would have happened. this is great. And this dumpster fire of a show that we're having right now. But it's very easy, and especially for me, very easy to focus on the negative. Very easy, because there's a lot to focus on. Let's be honest. I mean, nobody's being negative by focusing on some of the stuff going on this year and the number of people that have gotten sick, the number of people who have died, the hardship that it has brought to a lot of people, especially in the service industry. Who have lost their jobs, who have lost their homes. But I have to try and focus, be mindful of that, and do my part, our part, to help. And as Craig mentioned, the way this community has come together, not just our community right here, our little community on the Diz, the whole Disney fan community, the whole Disney content creator community, everybody stepped up. Everyone stepped up, and that certainly makes me feel good. I feel good that, you know, my entire team all stepped up, and we've all had to adapt and adjust. And my experience, my personal experience, has been in these periods when it's dark, in these periods when it's difficult, the changes we make to adapt and get through it end up being some of the best things we could have done moving forward. But the problem is we don't see that until 5 years down the road, right? We look back and we're like, yeah, that year sucked, but you know, this happened and that happened and this happened. And as a result, now I'm here. And I think we can all look back at our lives. We can all look back at dark periods in our lives. And see that. And I think we will look back at this at some point and see that. So I'm trying to jump the gun on that look back and say, I can already see where some really good things have happened for me personally, for my business, for my family and friends. And I don't want to ignore the negative. I don't want to ignore the challenges. But I don't want my whole world to be about it either. So I really want to try and go out of my way to focus on some of that good stuff. And so I don't know. John and Kevin, are you back?
I think we're back.
Oh, thank God.
This will go down as our highlight for the year.
Yeah, this is going to go down as your highlight. So let me, I just wrapped mine up. Go ahead and tell us yours.
I'm happy. The highlight of my year is that my family is healthy, that John and I have made adjustments. We have made sacrifices. We had made changes and we are all healthy. The dogs are healthy. John and I are healthy. And it's made me realize that we can handle anything. that the two of us are strong together and that we can handle anything. And the highlight of that, the highlight of my year is that I learned that, that we can do anything we set our mind to. That's
very,
it.
Very nice. So the highlight of my year comes after the low light. And the low light for me has been a really bad effect from COVID and this whole thing with the economy is seeing people with food insecurity. Mm. I mean, that's just, it devastates me that someone could possibly go hungry or their kids can go hungry. And finding the story about the cast member who opened that cast member pantry and being able to spotlight that and donate to that is something I feel was helped to lift me out of the, you know, this is so horrible portion of that story. So that was that. And then I have something that's a little superficial. The exciting thing that we did, something that we did this year that really sticks in my head is we did that read through of Carousel of Progress.
That was so funny.
For the live show. Had so much fun doing that. So that was a really great sort of pick me up for the year.
Yeah. That whole marathon show over Labor Day weekend, we raised what, $180,000 for Give Kids the World. We crossed the $1 million mark for money raised for Give Kids the World. So,
and if anyone, speaking of Give Kids the World, Stephen Amos sent me a picture the other night of all the boxes he was mailing out for all the auction, the ornaments that were won in the auction that we did to raise money just recently for Give Kids the World. So if you ordered an ornament, it's on its way.
Yep. So it has been a challenging year, but I mean, one thing, and I say this with my whole heart, one thing I am eternally grateful for this year more so than ever has been you guys, the support that you have shown us. This year has been humbling, to say the least. And I can't thank you enough for that. And not just your support for us, but your support for Give Kids the World, your support for the cast members. You know, it's, I'm honored to be a part of the community. And I hope that we brought you some respite from 2020 with our shows and our content. And that has motivated us to come up with a lot of ideas moving forward in 2021 and a lot of the things that we're going to do. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for your support this year. Thank you for being with us today. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a happy holiday, safe and happy new year. And we will see you back here again on January 5th with the next episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks.